spring break time, so we can get out to Tad earlier, this Tuesday earlier. But, so we're, working communication with God. And, so let's pray and then we'll do a quick review of where we've been and then, wade on into the Bible teaching concerning Eucharistia or Eucharisteo, which is the word for Thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, as we are well aware of the benefits you provide us in your word. And one of those benefits is you have chosen to God-breathe words as well as syntax, and those words make a difference. You didn't choose them at random. You didn't choose them for variety, but they said exactly what you wanted said from the vocabulary of the human writer. We're thankful because of that we have this class, because we don't say prayers, 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 prayer. We can read 1 Timothy 2 and understand that there are four kinds of communication there, and we're grateful for that. May you, by your Spirit, bless us tonight, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, and I've just given away a couple of my questions in that matter. When we deal with communication, there are some things that I promised that we would ask as we go along. This is one thing I do miss about having eyeball to eyeball, because then I can drill better and I can see whether I'm getting anywhere or not. The camera doesn't show me your body language. And so that makes it rather interesting. But the first question that what I ask, and I've done it many, many years in this class, and that is, how many kinds of communication are there listed in Grace Revelation, that is, in Revelation addressed to the church? How many kinds? And the answer is there are eight. And that matters. You have eight kinds of communication.
Wireless caller.
I should probably get it.
So,
anyway, that's broken into three different, or four different directions, and that chart was on the internet, so we have that overview chart. So there's an appeal that involves asking, intercession, and supplication. There's an expressions of appreciation, which involve, thanksgiving, praise, and worship. That's six of the eight. Seven is confession. Homologia, homologeo, which is 1 John 1:9. And then we have a vow, which is UK. And so, we will be doing at least the first seven. We often do not get to the vow. And, I mentioned when we started that, as many years as I've been saved, I have never found it necessary to use that vow communication. It's kind of an unusual one. So we started next question. There are two passages of scripture that can demonstrate when they're used together that there are at least five kinds of communication. And that first one is the one I mentioned when I talked to the Father a minute there, is 1 Timothy 2:1. And in 1 Timothy 2:1, we have four kinds of communication listed. And, they're all different. And I kind of parroted what I would do, in this. They're not prayer, 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 and prayer, in that matter. Rather, the four kinds of communication are distinct from one another. And prayer is not at the beginning of that list. And so when we look at it, you see, I'm always looking forward to the next classes or next elements of these classes. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers is number two. Don't have an article. Intercessions and giving of thanks or thanksgiving. So you have four. So you have supplication, prayer, which happens to be worship, intercession, and you have the giving of thanks. Now, the other passage, do you remember? 1 Timothy 2:1 and Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. And there we have four, but we have one different one and one less from what we have when we look at First Timothy 2. And so in Philippians 4, 6, it says, and I'm translating it. I'm reading it from the Greek, more or less. It says, be anxious for nothing. It says, be careful in the AV. But in everything, by the prayer and the supplication, that is, so those are two that we had in 1 Timothy 2, after thanksgivings, that's in 1 Timothy 2, let your askings or requests be made known unto God. So we have the addition of asking here, and it omits the intercession from 1 Peter chapter 2. So these are different kinds of communication, and there are five of them. And so those, there are those people that say, oh, there's no more than one, or you have the ACTS people who say it's asking, confession, thanksgiving, maybe supplication. I mean, they put different parts of their acronyms. There are eight, and you can, but there are five of them really clear in those two passages, and that is very important to us. Now, we're working on thanksgiving, and the definition, I have a definition in your notes on page 4. I'm not going to go back through Dr. Schaefer's definition on it. It's a lot easier many times. I gave another definition that was still a little bit complicated, but it reflects the word in its backdrop, and that is, thanksgiving is a response of the believer to the good grace of God manifested to him or her, expressing appreciation. And so the simple definition is, thanksgiving is an expression of appreciation to God the Father for a benefit, for some benefit. Now, not all things mean it's another dollar in the bank that are benefits. There are a lot of things that are beneficial. When things happen, that's why you can do it for all things, in all things, at all times, for all men, which we kind of went through in a hurry. Last time we'll be back and overlap some of that this time. So that's our definition, but it is an appreciation for a benefit. And I just said it's to the Father. Along the line here shortly, we will touch on the fact there is one verse in the whole New Testament that ever sees any, talking about an English verse, that sees thanks being made to anybody else than the Father. And that is the root word charis, the word for grace, is used of Christ, and that's over in 1 Timothy 1:12. We will try to talk about that a little bit as we get there moving down. Now, we left off at D2 on page 5. The significance of the term, we went through the four things. Now, if you have the notes offline, you need to add letter D. So it's for all things, in all things, for all men, at all times. And that's Ephesians 5:20, which is the word pantate. So it's always, is the way it's translated, at all times. So that is pretty exhaustive in its coverage in that matter. So that makes a difference. Now, let's move into the notes and move along. That took me 9 minutes in that matter. Thanksgiving is essential in our communication. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 is a key passage that we need to remember, because we've already seen it in relationship to for all things and at all times, but I need to relate to it, because it tells us something about thanksgiving that rarely is understood and seen. The problem with it is that a lot of people love to take a verse out of context, never look at the context, and they miss the importance of it and why God put it there the way he did. And so in 5:20, it says, giving thanks always at all times for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that verse tells us a lot of things, and I'm just going to touch the verse as we go to it. How often is it? It's at all times. It's always. And they're all off of the same basic Greek root, the Greek root, the word pas. It can be pentateter or pon, or, I mean, it's the all word. And so the list on the top of the page, on under number one, has all of the all words, but it's in here. So how often? All the time. For what? In that case, it says for all things. Not just the things you like, not just the things you don't like, but you can be thankful for everything. Whatever happens on it. I mean, like, tonight I went rushing out of the house and grabbed my car keys, only they weren't there. And I realized that when I had dressed tonight, I neglected to put what I needed in my pockets. And I was pushing it a little tight, and so it was hard to say thank you, Father, but I did, because I knew I was going to get here in time, and I was fine. It was just interesting to be thankful in things that were a little stressing. And some of that stress, I mean, I pushed right up to the time I had to leave with things I am doing in that matter. And so if we are to giving thanks always to all in all things unto God, even the Father. It's addressed to the Father. The order in the text is backwards from the Greek order. The Greek order says, for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, the God, even the Father. And so, and I mean, it's good grammar the way it is in the English text, but there is an emphasis that you're not saying thank you, Jesus. You're thanking the Father through the agency of Jesus Christ, or in his character, in the name. This happens over and over. We, as Spirit-filled believers, can do it in the character of Christ. And last night in pneumatology, I was talking about that, about how as a Spirit-filled believer, you can, I mean, things can happen. And, he is off, the Holy Spirit is an agent, and the fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ. And we were back in John where it says, my joy, my peace, and my love. They're all identified as his, and they are the first three parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, context. Verse 18 takes us back to the main verb. You see the speaking, making, giving, submitting, and all those ing endings tell us that those are participles that go back to a main verb. And the main verb is the word for fill. So he says, and I'm going to translate verse 18, stop being drunk with wine. Now, being drunk is a passive, so it kind of sounds that way. Wine makes you drunk, makes people drunk to different degrees as to their tolerance of it. So he says, stop being drunk with wine. It's a prohibitive imperative. And then he goes on and says, wherein is excess? Excess is a word, it's asotia. Soteriology is the doctrine of salvation. Sotia is the word save. And so it says, if you're drunk, you're living in the realm of unsavingness in your present tense salvation. You're not living as this, with the benefits that are provided for present and salvation. If you're drunk, you can't do it. It doesn't work. And so that's part of it. And it goes on, but be filled. Another passive. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. Remove yourself to the right hand and employ. I mean, employ. What's provided by the grace of God, and you get out of the way. I'm not going further on that. But that's the context. All of these ing participles go right back to be filled. In other words, you cannot be thankful and have the Father hear you if you're not a filled believer. These are not natural results of filling. Now, I want to make a comment here, and that is Thanksgiving is the only kind of communication that Scripture says is a marker of spirituality. If you're spiritual, it tells somebody by your Thanksgiving that you are. When somebody says, I'm spiritual, and they don't demonstrate any Thanksgiving and they bellyache and complain, I think they're fabricating something in that matter. I know they are. Okay, so that really is a fun and important verse. And you see again, it's not to this, not to Jesus Christ, but it's to the Father. I'm debating where I want to go. I think I'm going to mention this one verse in just a little bit, but I keep going in my track in my notes here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Part of that little list of short verses that are very, I used the word pithy last night and I suddenly realized there are some people don't understand that word anymore. It's not a term that millennials will use. And that means it's very nurturing, has a great deal of information in a little bit. And in 5:18, what does it say? It says, in everything. That's up off of the list, letter B. In everything, or in all things, give thanks. And while I'm reading that, let me fatten it up so you can see it. In all things, continually be giving thanks. It's a present tense verb, and it's an active thing. You don't automatically do it. You have to use your head so you can express that appreciation to God for the benefit he's provided. So in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the desirous will of God. If you want to be functioning in the realm of the will of God, be spiritual and be thankful. That's what he desires for you to do. If you want to do the will of God, that's where it works, in one of several places. We talk about thelema, the words for will of God. And the idea of will of God is something that a lot of people just think it's often la-la land, and it's not. It's supremely practical. There are 11 places in the New Testament that say that a Christian can practice to do the will of God. It says, is this the will of God? So do it. And you learn how to do it. And like I say, there are 11 things. This is one of them. And you begin to understand how you can identify what God desires. And so in some circumstance where you need to know the will of God for a particular event in your life, you can identify what it is and what it isn't. It's just because it's just common knowledge in that matter. And I won't say more than that, but 5:18 is an important verse, and it's the will of God in Christ Jesus, so you're functioning in the realm of your position. That means you're relating to the work of the Godhead, and especially the Holy Spirit, as he activates what you have in your position in Christ, that part of the benefits package. And this is not unusual. Back in verse 12, it says, there are people over you in the Lord. There's another in Christ item. And so that is a place where it makes no difference what the circumstance is in that. And I've seen the saints who think they ought to just be thankful when things are going great. And when they start to learn, when you're spiritual and you look at it from God's perspective, he might be benefiting you by what he's doing. But he normally would be to permit something to happen, and then you can be thankful in it. And sometimes you wonder why he's doing what he's doing. But that's normal for us as human beings. Now, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, we have another use, another occurrence of the word thanks or thanksgiving. And in it's hard to take these out of context because there's so much fun around the context. but I'm going to try to keep it narrow here. It says, whatever you do in word or work, word or deed. The word here for work, for deed in verse 17 is the word for work. It's the word ergon. It's used in, if you have an ergonomic chair, it means it's a chair that's designed for you to be best at work. That is to treat your body right at work. So the ergos is work. And so what does he say? And whatever you do, and in that case, let me look at it, yeah, in all that you do, in word or work or word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the character of Jesus Christ. The word name, it's not a title. We will do this when we get especially into asking communication. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Well, what name? There are only 365 titles that have been listed by some. And which one? No, it's not. It's being in his character. Doing it in his person. Having that kind of a relationship. We don't need to pick the right name. It's not a lottery. We do it in his character. And then he goes on. What does he say? While giving thanks to God and even the Father by him. Giving thanks to God the Father, it's in his character. And then you see the ending words there, by him. The by is dia, which is a preposition, which means through the agency of him. Once again, it focuses on the fact that you're communicating to the Father in the character of Christ or through the agency of him. So he's the agent, and so you have a double whammy in 3:17 of Colossians. Now, at the bottom of the page, we start a list of, I've kind of listed the core material in your notes. It's going to be obvious if you look on the other side on page 6 that there is so much here we are not going to be able to go through, but we've just gone through some basics, but we'll go through several of them. And I'll refer to them as we go. In Acts 27:35, we have Paul. And Paul is on a ship. And things are not going well at sea with Paul. You know, I just skipped a whole section. Let's stop and go back. I didn't do number 2 where I wanted to. We went through 5:18, and I just want to go Romans 1:21. I had thought about that all this afternoon. I said, I've got to remember to do that. Okay, Romans 1. The failure of the human race was that they were unthankful. It's kind of interesting how thankless people are or unthankful they are. And this was a basis for divine judgment in Romans 1. And let me just read that so I'll remind you of it. I'm going to meddle with it a bit. In Romans 1, and the verse I want is verse, 21. I'm looking at 20, and that's important too. Well, let's read 22, because that has it without excuse. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, but understood by the things that are made. His eternal power and his godhood. So that they are without excuse. That is, you look at creation, natural revelation teaches you two things. Number one is that there is a power far greater than ours. And it has to come from eternity. It's not from anywhere else. And then the word that's translated there, Godhead, should be Godhood. That there is a deity, a rational deity, being. And he's, again, greater than we are. So creation teaches us that. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. When did all of mankind know God? I won't say modern history, it never happened. But you go back and you find that they all knew God at one point, and that is 8 people. Knew God as a result of the flood. when they beached, they knew God as a result. This is Genesis 11. And when they knew him, what did they do? They were not thankful. God had taken care of them through all of those months of flood, sustained them, sustained everything that was on board of the ark, and it says they were not thankful. They were in a situation, I am absolutely certain that during the flood, they saw bodies floating by in the water. They saw dead animals floating in the water. They had a lot of information that said they had a good reason to be where they were and thankful. They weren't. And so they're held, it says, but became vain in their imaginations. They became useless. That's Matthias is the root of that, which is a word for useless, vain, in their dialogismos, that is, in their processes of thinking. They were useless. They could not think straight, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened. And that goes back again to the end of the flood. Unthankful. I'm amazed. If God was to be dealing with unthankful people, and he took everybody that was unthankful, we'd have less than half the population. In fact, a whole lot less. Because we live in a day where people are not thankful for much of anything. And it's sad in that matter. And so just a reminder. Okay, now I can jump back down to where we wanted to be in Acts 27, bottom of page 5, F1. And Paul was in the ship off of Melita. Kind of interesting, in a big storm, everything was kind of a mess. They were in such bad weather, they wouldn't eat, couldn't eat. They were in fear of their lives. And what does it say in Acts 27:35? It says, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Now remember, he's a prisoner, and you have guards and you have seamen that were there to run the ship. When he broken it, he began to eat. So he gave thanks in front of all of these people. And what happens, he didn't just begin to eat, he shared it with the others. And said, you probably better get some energy because you're going to have to probably get a little backstroke to get out of here. And remember what happened. God said, everybody's going to be saved in this matter. Nobody's going to drown. They're going to get there one way or another. And so that's one area that's where expression appreciation for food. It's really interesting when we understand the practices of different peoples, different Christian groups. You have those who pray before the meals, and then they pray afterwards. That's amazing how many do that. I don't come from that circle where that was a practice. We always prayed before meal. I don't have a bit of problem of bowing my head in a restaurant and thanking God for my food. It's not a problem. It's just automatic. Now, over in 1 Timothy 4:3 and 4, you have this problem with Thanksgiving. In that it says there were people who were forbidding to marry. I'm in 1 Timothy 4:3-4, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods, the word meats is CAV, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Every creature, a thing that has been divinely created. This is a little bit different than some of the regulations when they were vegan back in the year of Adam and Eve. Then you get to the Mosaic Law. What happened? They had no problems eating meat. It's just you couldn't eat all of it. You couldn't eat pork. You couldn't eat oysters. You couldn't eat crab legs. You could eat frog legs. But anyway, and so he said, it's all to be eaten with thanks. I kind of smile sometimes when I think about it. My grandson is a little picky about what he eats. And I kind of goad him or tease him a little about it. And I was trying to get him to see if he wanted to eat some macaroni and cheese. What kid doesn't eat macaroni and cheese? No, he likes cheese, but he didn't want macaroni and cheese. He knows that when I'm there, we're going to be thankful, with him. Now in Romans 14:16, it's interesting, more food. He that regardeth the day, Romans 14:6, regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doesn't regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth thanks. But he that eateth not unto the Lord, he eateth not and giveth thanks. And so there's some things people will eat and some things people won't. And it's interesting. You have people that are very, what do I want to say, persnickety about what they want to eat, and they do it for religious reasons on it. And so if they do it for religious reasons and they do it with thanks, the problem with religious reasons, a whole lot of these people do it because they believe they should be living under the Mosaic Law. And I'm not sure how thankful they can be in their circumstance, but that's maybe being judgmental in that matter. Letter G, topic page 6. It's interesting. Have you ever been thankful for something that didn't happen? That happens very often. You find out that if you'd have been a minute earlier and something happened that slowed you down, you would have been in the middle of a horrendous accident. And, of course, that involves what? It involves a guardian angel and God's plan and all of that. But it's interesting. Paul said, this is one of my favorite book verses when it comes to the Church of Christ. They believe the water saves. And what did Paul say here? He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. And then he couldn't remember who else he may have. He was thankful that he hadn't baptized these rebellious bunch of carnal Christians in Corinth in that matter. So it's kind of interesting. He did, and we do that often, I think, in that matter, to be thankful that something didn't happen. And I don't know. I mean, we probably are doing a lot more than we want to admit. There are times I hear a news report and I say, thank you, Father, I wasn't there in that matter. Thanksgiving for an appreciation for remembering. This is kind of a fun one. It's simple, short, in Philippians 1:3. I thank my God for every memory or remembrance of you. That's what's fun. When you think back, it's not just because we get older and we start thinking much about the past. But it's really interesting how often God seems to bring to mind people. And when that happens, the first thing that we will probably want to do is be thankful for some fond memories and some time spent. And then it may be that the Holy Spirit pushes the button a little harder or pushes it again, and we intercede or supplicate for those people. And it's really amazing as we are around other believers over many years, how some people you forget You don't remember them, and then for some reason, out of the blue, they come to mind. And I've sat and tried to think about, why did that person come to mind? There should be triggers, and I can't think of triggers outside of God. And so I can be thankful in that matter of memory, and Paul was talking about that right here, that he was thankful for remembrance, for the remembrance of them. In that matter. Letter I, I've got six things. Which one do I want to pick on? You can look down through there and you have a pretty good idea of some of these. Colossians, Paul says, I'm thankful for you, Colossians. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, I'm thankful for you, Thessalonian believers. 1 Thessalonians 3:9, it's for Thessalonian believers that he's thankful, in 3:9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you guys, for all the joy wherewith we joy because of you before our God. So you can see that. Philemon, you're right. He's thankful for Philemon. I thank my God making mention of you always in my prayers of worship at the time of my prayers of worship. So it's a good thing to remember those that God has brought in our lives, and we can remember. I think it's kind of interesting when somebody is preaching or is maybe on a subject, and you remember back when, years before, where you heard that and you were especially blessed by that truth, and you remember the one who preached it, maybe the one who was sitting next to you. And you can be very, thankful. I mean, there's a broad, broad realm in which we can be thankful, in these ways. Let's see, Romans 1:8. For I thank my God, through the agency of Jesus Christ, it says, the God of me, through the agency of Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Kind of interesting in Rome. Ephesians 1:1. 1:16 is where it should be. In that, I have a 1:1 in my other supplements here. But, in that matter, he says, I heard of your faith and love. And so he was thankful for them. The key, thanksgiving as an expression of appreciation for a believer's conduct in the believer's conduct and for the believer's conduct. Ephesians 5:4, this talks about how they weren't. It says, neither filthiness nor moron language or foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. The option, the opposite. You don't have to be involved with certain kinds of communication. And it says there, the word in the AV is convenient. They're not fit or not proper. It's the word anakin, which means that being fit or proper. Some things just aren't proper in certain circumstances in that matter. Colossians 2:7 it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein by thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, I guess, is okay. It's an and preposition. I guess you could say in, too. Could be locative. It could be instrumental in that. So when there's certain kinds of behavior, you have that opportunity to share. It's hard for me not to just keep going down my list. The first, second Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always, at all times, for you guys, brethren, as meet, as in balance, because your faith grows exceedingly, and your agape love of everyone toward all, toward each other abounds. And here Paul has heard the report, and I have come over many, many years. I think my favorite group of New Testament saints is probably the Thessalonians saints. The reason is they were saved in a short time. They learned some basic truths in a short time, and they lived those basic truths. Paul was only there for no more than a month and a half. And they had to get saved there, and then they learned some things that are reflected in the two epistles that was addressed to them, and it's just amazing what they were able to do in that matter. And so that's, come on, I'm looking at my own wrong list here. Okay. I think that'll do what I want to do. Okay, we'll go on down to letter L. That's a big, long list. And for spiritual blessings, you'll notice how many of this list I have. Out of nine, I have two-thirds of them are out of the Corinthian epistles. And so here they have spiritual blessings. They need to be appreciative of these spiritual blessings. And so, let me pick randomly, not randomly, I want to, in 14:16, I'll start at the beginning. And when thou shalt bless, speak well with your spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you say? I mean, there were certain things that were going on that were a blessing. For thou verily givest thanks well, it's a good thing to do that, but the other is not edified. When you're doing this and they don't understand it, they're called unlearned here. You want me to read the Greek word for unlearned so you can see what it is saying? It's the word idiotu. The word idiot comes from it. Unlearned, one who is beside himself. Idios is one beside himself. And so he says, I thank God I speak with more tongues than all of you. He's not endorsing tongues in this case, but he's saying he is able to communicate more than any of them in that matter. In 1:11, he says, you also help together by prayer for us, that for the gift of, bestowed upon us by means of many persons, thanks may be given on the by many on your behalf. The thanks being given on your behalf. Anyway. So I'm not going to go down all the rest of these Corinthians. You can look them up and chase them. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. And this is in the middle. It's a part of a prepositional participle, I'm going to say. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's made it possible for us to share in this inheritance. And so there's thanksgiving given to the Father, very explicit there. 3:15 of Colossians, and let the peace of God empire. The word rule is a word that has the idea of give an umpire's decision or call the strokes in a rowing circumstance in your hearts, to the which also you are called into one body. And be ye thankful. And so those are the keys. We get down to the letter M. Now you can see they're all in Revelation. You see none of them are in chapters 1-3, but it deals with a thanksgiving that will be in the future. Now, I mean, you have people saying thanksgiving, and where do I guess 11:17 says, saying, "We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee great power and have reigned." And I guess that's for us, because that was for the 24 elders in that matter. Okay, I want to stop quickly and go back to talk quickly about that idea. Oh, I can find my notes. There they are. The idea of it being offered to Christ in, see, I put too many pages up here and I shouldn't have done that. Three piles don't help me. There we go. Okay. I knew that's just what was going to happen when I did this. Okay. Here's what it says in the King James in 1 Timothy 1:12. It says, "I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." That is the only verse where you have one of our terms used of what could be directed to him. Now, I need to say something. The word thanks is the word charis. It's the word grace. They tend to translate it thanks when it's addressed to God, because grace is identified as unmerited favor, and it's true in its relationship to us. And they don't want to say this as an expression that, or that relates to favor, which it does. I smile in 1 Peter 2:19. It says, in the King James, it says, for this is thankworthy. The same charis is there. Darby translates it acceptable, which is not a bad translation of charis in the context. The English Standard Version translates a gracious thing. New American Standard translates it just simply favor. And New King James translates it commendable. I like to go to 1 Peter 2 with these other translations because they're not as consistent, because they all tend to follow the King James there in 1 Timothy 1:12. And with that idea, I don't have a huge problem if somebody wants to translate a grace, but I know why it's that way. When you say something of the fact that God has done you a favor and you share a favor back, that's not necessarily thanks. And I need to tell you this, that this charis is translated thanks 11 times in the New Testament, in the King James. And in the 11 times, let me look before. I have my other counts here too somewhere. Well, it happens. Too many pages, you get shuffled out. Like 249 times charis occurs is what I'm trying to remember. And I have it written down, and it was right here in my notes, and it's not being found. There's two. There it is. I've got it. 156 times. So 156 times charis is usually translated grace or favor, and it's translated in the King James 11 times thank, and not all of them make real good sense. You have three of them in Luke 6, 31, 2, 33, and 34, one in each of those places. And the English Standard Version translates what benefit. The New American Standard translates a credit in those places, whereas some of the others do think. You can do with it what you want. I don't believe that. I think just because it's used of God, it says, I have a favorable response to him, and you can communicate it if you'd like, but I would do it through the Father concerning the Son, but that's my analysis of where we are. Now, let's get an idea of a bit of a review of Thanksgiving, and we have hustled and hustled and hustled with this. And my review is Now, it's I try to simplify it so we can remember it. And so when we use Thanksgiving, it is for something. That's why I use the word benefit. It's something that you have received from God as a benefit. You're the benefactor in that matter. And so, God has provided it, and so that's a reason that we respond accordingly. It is a response of a spirit-filled believer. It's something that, again, the participle is all tied to the be filled. And so, it marks your spirituality. It tells you that your Thanksgiving, if you get in a habit, it can be rote and it will not register because God does. I mean, sure, God can hear it, but he doesn't hear him respond. I don't think he feels good about our thanks just by doing it in a rote manner. Then it's what I believe is one of the most used kinds of communication there is. I mean, we should be thankful over and over and over throughout a day. And that's going to be primary. If we're spiritual, we're just going to be so aware of what God is doing and in his relationship to us and to our creation and to friends and family and everything. We will be very, very thankful. And that does help affect our attitude sometimes toward other people. Because we can be thankful for some, though there may be characteristics that we find rather repugnant in that matter. And I put in your notes, it may be given to the Son. And that's a big question mark. I've taught this now for, 45 years? In fact, probably longer than that. And I swung back and forth on it because I've done the word studies over and over with Caris. To check that out. So I put that note in here. But by implication, if that is true, it could be addressed to the Holy Spirit. But there's not one illustration of that. It's usually to the Father. And so when I communicate anymore, if I know the Holy Spirit's given me illumination, I say, thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit has given that to me. And I understand because of the nature of God, I am... it being shared by all persons. It is necessary to be thankful to be doing the will of God. To be aware so we can be thankful. If we're not aware, we can't be thankful. It's not going to work in that matter. And then it's essential for peace. And that goes back to Philippians 4. If you can't be thankful for a lot of things, they're going to bug you, especially the things that are negative. And so when he says, be anxious for nothing, it's part of that four-part package. He says, with the prayer, the supplication, after Thanksgivings, let your askings be made known. And we read just to 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I know it's not what the King James said. It says through in that, and it's really an end preposition. It would have been better if they wanted to make it instrumental, put a by in there, because that's the preposition on that. So that is where we, talk about fast for Thanksgiving. But we've covered a lot of material. I've given you a lot of scripture. I don't like to move this quickly. My gift doesn't say to do it. My gift says, spend time in every verse. And we didn't do that. Now, the next kind of communication that we are going to move to is praise. I really believe that the order of things would be that you would be thankful and then you would praise. Praise is a couple of Greek words, roots, I should say, inesis and epinesis, inos. It is one of those kinds of communication that we have a definition for in God's Word. It is a in Hebrews 13:15. We have a biblical definition, and it's not in the English. It's in the Greek. There is a gross translation problem there. And what it is, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips confessing his name. Now, what the King James says is giving thanks to his name. And it's no wonder people confuse praise and thanksgiving if you follow that text or any like it. But it's confessing. It's the word we have in 1 John 1:9, homologeo. And so there is the biblical definition. I've done this over and over, try to encourage you. If you have a blank spot inside your cover of your Bible, write down some of these biblical definitions so that you know what God, how he defines words. And you could just say, praise, Hebrews 13:15. We'll go into it next time. We're going to work that homologeo term so we can understand that too, so we get our foot up on this matter of confession on it. So praise, what I want to say about praise, if you say praise the Lord, it doesn't mean you're praising the Lord. There are so many people today that think praise the Lord is the way it goes. Or they will say hallelujah. Well, hallelujah in Hebrew is hallelujah. Yah is short for Jehovah. Hallelujah is the second person imperative, plural imperative. And when you say hallelujah, you're saying you guys praise the Lord. It's not praise. It's telling somebody to praise. And so if it's the fruit of our lips confessing his character, it tells us a little bit about, and I need to leave this door open this wide, and that is praise is an expression of appreciation to God for his character manifested in a benefit. And that's, again, a short definition. Dr. Schaefer's in the notes is a little better. Praise is a communication with God in which there is a response of appreciation for some aspect of God's character which were responsible for the benefits received by the believer. Praise can be addressed to God for the same benefit that you receive at different times, and the mind will take you to different attributes of God, different parts of his character, his nature. And so there may be a day you'll say, I thank you, Father. I praise you, Father, that you show your love for me in this. And that same benefit can come, and you can be impressed by maybe the attribute of truth, that you really see things they really are. And so we'll be working on that. This section ties directly into the class that we teach on theology proper. Because we go through essence and attributes, and Dale teaches that. So what we will do, we will come back on next Tuesday night, Lord willing, and pick up at letter B. I will review back what we've gone through very quickly now, and then we're going to look at the language and the equipment. In seminary classes, I would put notes on where to look these up in tools. That is Englishman's Greek in particular. And because that gives you the opportunity, but I've got a lot of these passages in here. Now, praise your prominent is going to be Hebrews 13:15. Then we'll have, but that's the one that's key because it gives you such a clean definition and we'll be relating to that. So we will return on page 7, letter B. Father, may you bless as the next hour comes, and we pray that it might be a time of a joy, because when we look at those who are enemies, we are on the side of someone who's far greater by far. And we're thankful in that next hour that it's that opportunity to be appreciative and thank you for the provisions of a defense against our spiritual enemies, especially Satan and demons, and to praise you because you have a manifest power far greater than they ever could imagine. and we're thankful for that. Bless in the evening in Christ's name. Amen.